Welcome to Chorus Call. Please hold for an operator. Welcome to Chorus Call. Please hold for an operator. Welcome to Chorus Call.
Full name and your company name, please.
Shweta Shikhawat, Prabhudash Leland.
You are from which company?
Prabhudas Leeladhar.
Private Limited.
Yeah.
The conference is now being recorded.
Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the UFO Movies India Limited Q4 and FY22 earnings conference call hosted by Prabhudas Leeladhar. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touchtone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Ms. Shweta Shikhawat from Prabhudas Leeladhar Private Limited. Thank you and over to you, ma'am.
Thanks, Rituja. On behalf of Prabhudas Leeladhar, I welcome you all to the fourth quarter FY22 earnings call of UFO Movies Limited. We have with us the management represented by Mr. Kapil Agarwal, Joint Managing Director, Mr. Rajesh Mishra, President and Group CEO, and Mr. Ashish Malshute, the CFO. I would now like to hand over the call to the management for opening remarks, after which we can open the floor for Q&A. Thank you and over to you, sir.
Management, your line is unmuted. Please go ahead, sir.
Thank you, Shweta. Greetings everyone and thank you all for joining the Q4 and FY22 earnings call. This is Kapil Agarwal. Let me start first with the updates and highlights for this quarter, for Q4. So Q4 22 was expected to start on a positive note because of the overwhelming response to movies that were released in November and December of 2021. However, during the last week of December, as you all know, the third wave of COVID had started to spread across the country. As an impact of the surge in cases and ensuing restrictions, some states ordered the temporary closure of cinemas in January 22, while many other states reinforced occupancy restrictions. Due to this, big movies that were supposed to release in January were deferred to a later date, and only some movies from the regional film industries were released. However, the impact of third wave was short-lived and cinemas that closed during the period started to reopen in February 22. Even though the cinemas across India were operational in February, there were not many, you know, mass big releases during this month. except for some movies like Badhai Do, Gangubai Kathiyawadi, etc. The actual flow of new releases began only in the month of March, towards the end of March, and many mega-hit movies like Kashmir Files, Radhe Shyam, Triple R, etc. were released and were successful in attracting audiences back to the cinemas. This is encouraging for business, as it will encourage advertisers to increase their budget allocation towards in-cinema advertising. In addition, the removal of occupancy restrictions in the first week of March gave a head start to the recovery process and led to bounce back in our CGC and VPF revenue during the month of March. The decision to remove the occupancy restriction by state government was a welcoming decision for which the industry had been waiting for since the beginning of the pandemic. It should now fast pace the recovery going forward. Another positive development that I would like to highlight is the acceptance of select South movies in the Northern circuit, which is so now many more South movies releasing in the Northern circuit, which is encouraging for our business. This is because earlier most South movies were only released in Southern region, and we earned CGC revenue from there. Now, as more of these movies will be released in Northern circuit, it will offer potential benefit to our CGC revenues. We have been supporting the wider release of South and other regional movies through our distribution business in the Northern circuit. Going forward, we expect a steady revival in business, as our CTC revenues have already seen a bounce back supported by a steady release of the big films, as I said earlier. Advertisement revenue has started, however, is expected to grow gradually. We believe FY23 to be a year of substantial recovery for the business, subject to no further pandemic-induced restrictions. Now, coming to the headline numbers for the quarter and full year ended March 31, 2022, consolidated revenue stood at 561 million rupees in Q4 22 as compared to 335 million in Q4 21. EBITDA loss in Q4 22 was 119 million as compared with EBITDA loss of 159 million in Q4 21. Loss at PAT level was at 189 million as compared to loss of 255 million in Q4 21. For full year FY22, the consolidated revenue stood at 1639 million as compared to 922 million in FY21. EBITDA loss reduced to 472 million as compared to 837 million in 21. Loss at PAT level stood at 869 million as compared to loss of 1176 million in FY21. The consolidated fund position of the company as of March 22 stood at 1,190,000,000. On the debt front, the company continues to be net debt free with net cash of 320 million rupees. Lastly, I would also like to inform you all that as I turn 62 later this year, I have decided to step down from active management of the company. However, I will continue to serve the company as a non-executive director. Mr. Rajesh Mishra, who is presently president and group CEO of the company, will take over my role and is being elevated to the position of executive director. He has been associated with the company since inception and is currently responsible for overall operations of the company. I wish him the very best in future. I would like to take this opportunity to also thank all our stakeholders for their continued trust in the company during these unforeseen times. With this, I open the floor to take your questions, and I would request Mr. Rajesh Mishra, I'm welcoming him to this call today, and I will request him also to, and Mr. Ashish Malhotra, CFO of the company, to take the questions forward. Thank you.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on the touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Nitin Dharmawat from Aurum Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you for the opportunity. So despite achieving a higher revenue, I understand that the COVID situation was there, but COVID situation was earlier quarter also. And despite having a higher revenue, the losses have gone up. I also see that employee benefit expenses have substantially gone up, almost it got 2x. So what is your...
Speak out a little bit higher because we can't hear you properly.
Okay. Am I audible now?
Now it's better. And I'll be glad if you can repeat the question, please.
Sure, I'll do that. So my question is, since the revenue has gone up compared to last year same quarter, and since we have some seasonality in our business, so quarter to quarter may not be a good comparison, but year to year may be a slightly better one. So the employee benefit expenses I see gone up substantially during this quarter. So is this going to be the trend in subsequent quarters also, or is it just one-off during this quarter that we have seen?
Yeah, so you're right that the one of the biggest item of difference between Q3 and Q4 is the employee compensation expense, which has gone up by about 8.87 crores quarter on quarter. But the thing that I'm going to bring to your notice is that in all through this 2 years of pandemic, the entire company had taken a very severe salary cuts. And it was only when the theatrical business started opening up towards the end of December in 21, before Omicron, we decided to reinstate the severe deep salary cuts that we had given. As a result, out of this 8 crores of increase that you see, 4 crores is completely towards salary reinstatement. Additionally, for 2 years, there was no salary hike that were considered, and this was leading to a situation where company was, while the employees held back with the company for a long time, but some of the talent slowly started going away, and therefore it was necessary to get them back into the salary increment stage. And as a result, the salary increments were rolled out in December. The impact of that was close to 2.3 crores. So both these impacts put together is about 6.5 crores out of 8 crores, and the difference was annual incentives, which is more like a one time. So if I have to answer your question, the Q4 salary number which you see is more or less the number which you will see going forward, except about 1.5 crores, which is more like a one time expense that has come. Rest you can assume that as a base for extrapolating our salary cost for next year.
Got it. So, considering the business situation now in Q1 of the current financial year, would it be fair to say that we'll turn a bit positive during this quarter?
So, this quarter certainly will be a challenge because we are still slowly getting out of the problem. So, you must appreciate that the film industry certainly has come back with a big bang, and that's a very, very big positive for us. Never ever we have seen that consistently for 4 months, back to back you have releases which are, backed by audience, and the theatrical collection is significantly going up for every movie. Previously we used to have annually few such hits, but here in 3 months you have back to back 4-5 such hits. So it's positive for exhibition industry, but the service providers like UFO, for them to get the benefit, it will still have some lag. And that's exactly what we expect, that as we progress, we should start seeing our losses reducing, and then we will turn a bit of positive, where a significant contribution needs to come from advertisement revenue. You would see that my advertisement revenue is slowly coming back on track, but it will be some time before we could actually reach a stage of pre-COVID level or even a level where my EBITDA will turn positive. At this stage, we don't want to give any estimate, but we are keeping all eyes on the consistency of the supply of the movies, which is pretty strong, and the acceptance of audience. Because if these two things happen, the audience will coming back to the theaters will give the confidence to advertisers to look at this medium more positively, which we are seeing the trend. And once that happens, the EBITDA positive stage for the company will quickly turn. But we don't want to give any timing estimate for that.
Okay, got it. So, I got it. So, I'm not taking any, you know, predictions from you on the EBITDA front. But on top line front, when do you think that we'll be able to go back pre-COVID level? Because most of the industries or other industries which were impacted by COVID have started, you know, going towards pre-COVID level. So what is our estimate in terms of going back to pre-COVID level? And since we have started some new business as well, some new offerings, like, for example, distribution, which now would have picked up. So when do you think this could happen?
So if we analyze the question, our revenues are comprised of theatrical revenues from rental, from CDC, and from advertising perspective. With the coming back of the films into the cinemas, the flow of content, as Ashish just mentioned, has steadily increased, and there is a very good lineup going forward also. And this is there has been a very good development that South films have also started faring well in the Indian market, in the North belt for the Hindi-speaking markets. So this has increased the number of films or the big films and poor films that will release in the North. So BPF revenue, CDC revenue, and our rental revenue will very quickly come back to normal, and it is well on its way also, even right now as we speak. Advertising revenue is something that will take time, because advertising went on the backseat in the first quarter during the lockdown entirely in cinemas, and there will be a time lag for the advertisers to come back into the situation. So two revenues, the theatrical revenues for rental and VPF, will move to pre-COVID levels by very soon, I would say, and advertising will take some time, especially the government advertising, which still has to see some uptake, whereas the corporate advertising is seeing good traction right now. On the government front, we have some concerns, and that's where we are working on that part.
Got it. Okay. Thank you, and all the best.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Akshay Ajmera from Nirzar Securities. Please go ahead.
Hello. Yeah, good afternoon. My question was regarding advertisement revenue. It is shown as 0.94 in your presentation. So this is less than 1 minute? Average minutes sold?
Oh, that is average minutes sold per show. So what it says is, on an average, we are selling less than a minute at this stage on our entire network in every show. This nothing but it shows the upside that is possible.
Right.
You know, when we go and watch a movie in a premium multiplex,
right,
could be in a good festive period, this can go as high as 20 minutes, 25 minutes sometimes. I'm adding both intermission and in the beginning of the show. So
right.
That's
and
the kind of opportunity which exists for the volume, on the volume front. And this particular pointer in our presentation, sir, would bring out where exactly we stand on our network. It's nothing else, but it's an indication of what kind of upside exists in the volume.
Right. But and the advertising sharing with exhibitors, the percentage is higher than earlier years. So is there some renegotiation with our exhibitors in the sharing?
So in our case, what happens is we also have a minimum guaranteed arrangements with the theaters.
Right.
So what happens, so if there's a theater, he is charged a rental fee, and against that rental fee, we take an advertisement right from them.
Right.
So in a normal scenario, the advertisement revenue that we earn should be shared in a pro rata, on a percentage basis.
Right.
However, we also have a clause right from beginning where we commit a minimum guaranteed sum to them, which is generally equal to the rental amount. So as such, the rental amount equals the cost. The rental is a revenue and a minimum guarantee is a cost. That gets nearly knocked off against each other. But
right,
when the same cost, when you are comparing the minimum guarantee cost, which is more or less equal to rental, when you are comparing only with the advertisement revenue, in a pre-COVID right scenario, that percentage was quite low. But as we as in the current scenario, when the revenues are lower, this percentage will find more because only because of the minimum guaranteed arrangement. So
right,
to answer your question, there are no major deals where we have really renegotiated the, there would be some but not many which would have caused this kind of a move. This is primarily because the revenue line is currently at a lower level.
Okay. And we would have given some discounts on the virtual print fee or other charges, you know, in the pandemic. So now those discounts are all gone away, or we are back to full prices?
Yeah, so you are right. During the pandemic, to encourage the opening of cinemas and for the films to release, we had extended discounts in the initial period. And also one of the reasons was that many of the states were shut down, they had not opened up the cinemas, and even where the cinemas had opened up, there was opening up of cinemas with limited capacity. So in order to support the industry during those times, we had extended discounts, but we are glad to inform that all the discounts have been removed and currently we are on full charge.
And one more question, we had also, you know, gone into a fee-based distribution business. So can you share some, you know, outlook on that business?
Yeah. So the distribution business, we started actually during the pandemic period. And while we, the primary need that we felt over here was that to help opening up of the cinemas, someone had to take the lead to ensure that some content flows. And that is where a chicken and egg situation was happening. And we saw this as an opportunity and we got into the distribution business. Now the distribution business, the way we have structured it and the mandate that we have with the team is that it is a zero risk, low profit strategy with a dual aim to provide content to our cinemas. So which will help feed the cinemas, and on the second hand, once the cinemas get content, that also provides traction to our advertising business. So with this dual purpose, we entered into a low-cost, zero-risk strategy of distribution. And primarily, we have worked with South Indian content and have helped them to bring them to the North Hindi-speaking markets.
Right.
And one of the basic offshoot of this that we are seeing over here is that more and more South Indian language films are finding traction, as you are well aware. And this will stand us in good stead in the long run also, because if you increase the number of films which is coming to the North market, it directly has an impact on our CDC and our advertising revenue in the future. As I said, distribution is a dual purpose vehicle that we have used.
All right.
Yeah, and till date we have released around 35 films of various languages.
And what would be the revenue from this?
The revenue is low because a lot of them released during the pandemic period and all that, but we have not incurred any losses. The revenue around on that is around 63 lakh rupees.
Okay.
Profit, I would
say. And could you give us some update on the we have done a few new ventures and we have invested in a few companies taking small stakes. So some update on some of those activities?
Any particular ones you would want to mention?
So we have taken a stake, I understand, in a production company which is supposed to, become a co-producer to regional films. Then we have a stake in a online library of information, and plus we have some initiatives,
yeah,
where
so
we have a social media agency, we have a tie-up with that, maybe a couple of those.
So we had invested in Mumbai Movie Studios Private Limited. this is a company which was primarily targeting low budget films from the regional market production.
Right.
And it is designed to go into production of these films along with the producers on co-production model. So all the films that were looked at under this company are in the realm of where the producers are already there, and we invest a part of it into it and take a position in the company. The typical way that deals that are worked in this is looking at the regional flow of content to the All India level, and Hindi films are big budget films. They carry much higher risk, and even one film failure rate of say 100 crore films can have a very drastic impact on companies. Here, we took a position over here of very, very small budget films between 2 crores to 4 crores or something in that region. And we have released 3 films under this category as of now. Under MMSPL. And we have had a good experience on these fronts. We have not lost money on any of these films.
So here the objective or the intention is that this basically was promoted by the professionals in this field, and therefore we decided to back them. So it is operated independent of UFO. But for us, the major synergetic advantage was if the focus which they have of, you know, giving impetus to the regional films of a lower budget, if we see that kind of genre and category picking up the production in number, it directly helps us, because as Rajesh mentioned in the last question, any increase in number of films first fetches me better VPF or CDC revenue, and more importantly, that leads to higher occupancy in the theaters, directly impacting positively my advertisement revenue. So in that direction, we have supported them. So therefore, we are more looking at whether how many more movies they can make and whether they can give that kind of a rub-off effect to other producers to create more movies. And simultaneously, whatever profit is generated there, a part of that comes to us. And whatever movies they have made so far, they have made reasonable profit and they have not lost money there so far.
Our other expenses have shown a spike this quarter. Are there any one-offs like in salaries in the other expenses?
This is what we explained. Let me check the earnings presentation.
Yeah, other expenses.
Just give me a minute.
Yes.
So if you go to the earnings presentation slide 11,
yes,
where we are giving consolidated financial highlights.
Okay.
Note, which is about a provision that we have done for diminution in value of one of the investments. That is a one-time effect of 4 crores.
4 crores.
My request to you and everybody, when you're looking at my Q4 EBITDA,
right,
when you're looking at the core business EBITDA, this 4.1 crore being one-time effect should not be considered for evaluating in your analysis the performance of the company for Q4 as well as the full year. It's a one-time 4.1 crore.
Okay. What is this regarding?
This is regarding one of the investments which was done before pandemic. Which was, we thought that it has a very, and we still believe, as a synergetic value to us. Unfortunately, during pandemic, the whole film industry came to a grinding halt.
Right.
As a result of which, there were no revenues which could be generated there. Now, what happens is, while on a business front, you will always have a view and you can see in a way where the business is leading to. But when you look at accounting, the accounting norms don't allow you to carry the cost of the investment unless your current level or past performance is justifying it. And as a result of which, due to accounting reasons, this provision in the value is required to be taken. So currently it is a provision and not a direct cost of diminution in value. Hopefully, post-pandemic now, when the business is coming back on track for the entire film business industry, when this company also turns around, when it turns around, we'll be able to reverse this impact. But if it doesn't go in that direction, then probably this will be a permanent hit to us. But what you see now is that provision in the books is already made.
Yeah. Besides that, is there any other reason? Because I think the other expenses have gone up substantially.
So to give you a more realistic way of looking at my other expenses,
right.
Generally you can refer as SG&A.
Yes.
The full year number that you will see is about 48 crores.
Yes. Okay.
And the quarterly number is 20 crores.
Yes.
So from this 20 crores, as I requested, if you knock off 4 crores,
right.
There are two other items which are more like a direct expenses. You come to a level of 14 crores,
okay.
Which is an annualized cost of 57 crores of SG&A.
Right.
If you see my pre-pandemic level,
okay.
The pre-pandemic level of SG&A was in the range of 80 crores in FY19, 77 crores in FY20.
Right.
During pandemic, we had a very severe cost-cutting measures, which led to pandemic level coming down in the range of 42 to 44 crores from a level of 78 to 80 crores. But as from Q4 onwards, the business is coming back on track. Most of these expenses are coming back in the same nature which were there pre-pandemic. However, we are still able to reduce these expenses at many places, as a result of which Q4 annualized is 57 crores against 80 crores of pre-pandemic level. And we are expecting that as we progress and as completely the business comes back, like the rentals comes back, other expenses come back, from this 57 crores annualized revenue level, we will move up by about, say, 15-20% as we close the year, but still it will be lower than FY20 levels. That is where we have got the cost reductions or cost optimization.
My last question is, are we comfortable with the funds that we have raised, or we may need to raise any more funds in the future for any action?
Absolutely comfortable. And fortunately for us, finally, and all of us, the pandemic, we can safely say, has come to end. Omicron was also a one-month phenomena. So
right.
Now, it's only the whole world is only going north in terms of coming back out of the pandemic problem. So same okay. Should hold for us.
Thank you, and best of luck.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, to ask a question, you may press star and one now. The next question is from the line of Akhil from Robo Capital. Please go ahead.
Hello, good afternoon. Am I audible?
Yes, sir.
Hi. So I just want to know regarding your opening remarks about the advertisement business, you know, you're seeing a revival, but currently right now there will be a time lag and the advertising revenue will take time to pick up. So I just want to know, when would you reach that, you know, 200 crore top line that you did in the advertisement business? Would it be in FY24? Would that be right?
Hopefully soon, but at this stage, we're not even 3 months into full-fledged operation. Luckily, the advertisers have started coming back to this industry, not just us, but also the premium demographic screens. So we really hope that it will be a fast-paced move from here. In one of the previous questions, we brought to your notice that volume headroom is very high. So keeping fingers crossed at this stage to give any estimate on timing is not really fair, even to ask my advertisement team to say when we'll reach that level. We should only see how the incremental progress is. For last 3 months, it is quite positive. And we'll keep connecting with each other at the end of every quarter on these calls, and you can keep getting updates from us.
Definitely. And I just want to know also, what is the operating cash flow for this quarter in Q4?
So let me get this working done. In the meantime, if you can go to the next question, and we will connect back with you on the operating cash flow front.
I also had the, I want to know operating cash flow outlook for FY23 actually.
That is something which we will not be able to give at this stage, which would basically mean that we will be giving an outlook on the business, which we normally as a policy don't give, but we give very clear indication of how the business is heading on a long run basis, on a short term basis, but we don't give the number estimates. But I can surely share with you through my IR team the current level of operating cash flows, if we may connect with you offline.
Okay, no problem, no problem. Those were my questions. Yeah. Thank you so much.
Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you. Participants who wishes to ask a question may press star and one now. The next question is from the line of Kaustubh Bubna from VMSPL Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Basically, wanted to understand pre-COVID, what was your VPF revenue contribution in percentage terms? And just if you could give us a little update on the latest stance by producers on paying these current VPF rates.
So what you call VPF is basically a content delivery charge which we charge to the distributors for providing service of taking their movie into various theaters in a secured way and getting it played out there. Generally we charge on a per show basis. So your question was what was our margin there. So my request is if you could go to, whenever you get a chance, if you go to our website and Q4 FY20 presentation, I'm telling you now, but you may not have it handy. So I'll tell you which slide to refer to.
No. I was asking how much is VPF sales as a percentage of total sales?
Yeah. So, okay. So that
for pre-COVID, in a pre-COVID standardized time. And
so pre-COVID levels in FY20, what we call as a distributor revenue, was 31% out of the total pie. The remaining two were exhibitor revenue and advertisement revenue. So that is the immediate answer to your question, 31%, which was a pre-COVID level scenario. And currently that proportion would be slightly higher, I suspect. So currently if you see distributor share is 58%.
Okay, and what is, most importantly, what is the stance? I believe at some point there was some agitation from the producer's end on the rates that they're paying for this virtual print free. So what is the latest update on that?
Can you repeat this question? We can't really
hear you
well.
Can you speak a little louder, please?
Yeah, no, what I was saying was is that at some point there was some sort of agitation from the producer's end on the VPF fees. So, and you know, their intent of paying that VPF fees or not to the extent of which the fees which is charged, the rate which is charged. So, what is the latest update over there and the dialogue between you guys?
Yeah, so I wouldn't say agitation. During the lockdown, what had happened was many of the states had not opened up the cinemas, and wherever the states had also opened up, they had opened up with limited capacity, and which was, affecting their revenue earning capacity also. And there were requests from people. And also proactively, we had given discounts on this front so that the films could start coming to the cinemas. And ultimately, the ultimate goal was to have the cinemas open up and the release of film flow to, accelerate. And towards this extent, and we had given discounts. But as I had mentioned earlier, we have stopped all discounts and we are currently charging full rates.
So just to confirm, this was not an agitation on their side. It was a COVID issue which caused this.
Exactly.
Okay. Great. Thanks.
Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, to ask a question, please press star and one. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one now. As there are no further questions from the participants, I now hand the conference over to Ms. Shweta Shekhawat for closing comments.
Thank you. On behalf of Prabhudas Leela Rao, we would like to thank the management of PFO Movies and the participants. Good day.
Thank you, Shweta. Thank you, everyone.
Thank you, everyone.
Thank you. On behalf of Prabhudas Leela Rao Private Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.